Hi, traders. Welcome to another live trading talk with Oliver Velez. My name is Oliver Velez, of course, and I am your trader for life.
Every one of my wealth traders knows, and I'm constantly drilling into this, and I want you to listen to this very carefully, that if you have all of your assets denominated in one currency, you are asking for financial death, especially in today's world. You can't have your assets denominated in one currency. So as an American, as an example, and we have many non-Americans with us, but I'm using the Americans as an example. If all of your money is in an American bank, in American dollars, and all of your assets are American-based, like you own assets denominated in the US dollar, CDs, bonds, homes, stocks, everything, cash in the bank. If everything is one currency, you just, unfortunately, I have to say it, you're just financially not very smart. No wealthy person does that. You say, well, Oliver, when I become wealthy, I'll start doing that. No, you become wealthy by doing that. Not, you don't get wealthy first, then start doing these things. You become wealthy by doing what the wealthy do. The wealthy don't have their assets in one country, one bank, one currency, one asset. It's just freaking ridiculous. Diversify. So how I teach my traders, my wealth traders, how to diversify currency-wise, we buy and sell US dollars, okay? We own a position and we own Chinese yuan, okay? Look at the Chinese yuan ETF. Now guys, I actually own the currency itself. So I have an 11 currency account, right? And in my account, it's not based in the US, but in my account, I can online go switch. I can say, okay, 20% of my US dollars now convert to Chinese yuan. Another 20% I want converted to whatever. So I can, in my account, move from, okay, I can change the percentage of which currency I'm holding. Now, if you don't have a multi-currency account, the alternative is to buy a currency ETF. So when you buy the Chinese yuan, okay, now you can see the clear breakout here on the clear breakout of Chinese yuan right here, around 2520, okay, which is when we got in. But when you buy CYB, it's effectively transferring American dollars into the Chinese yuan. Does that make sense? So you've actually used US dollars to actually own a different currency. And so now when the US, if the Chinese yuan rises and the US dollar declines, you get wealthier. How's that? Let's look at the US dollar. Now look at this chart of the Chinese yuan. All right? When I was in Shanghai a few months ago, I was calling it the yuan. The yuan, everybody was like looking very confused. Their eyes even got smaller, looking very confused. I mean, like, what are you talking about, the yuan? Ah, I'm sorry, it's the yuan, okay. that's the real pronunciation. Okay, but now look at the US dollar in comparison to this, UUP. UUP, as in Peter. Now, if the US dollar's value declines and you have $100,000 in your savings account, and it declines by 10%, you have gotten 10% poorer. With no action whatsoever, you've gotten 10% poorer. Now, let me tell you, for those of you who are American in particular, let me show you what's happened to your wealth without lifting a finger. This means that basically any asset that you have in a US dollar denominated thing has just gone down in value without your help. You did nothing but hold, if you did nothing but hold dollar, US dollar denominated assets, you became poorer. It takes more dollars to purchase stuff than it did in 2001. It takes more dollars to purchase stuff than it did in 1980, 1979. So listen, all currencies over time decline. It's just that we have to be smart enough to transfer portions of our US dollar denominated assets into other denominated assets when those assets are not declining as much. But I do want you to understand this. Every fiat currency goes to zero over time. Understand this. Do you know how many currencies existed before the US dollar and there are no more? I don't know how long it'll take, but the US dollar will be a thing of the history. Every fiat currency goes to zero. It's just the law. It's like breathing. It has to. It's not based on anything today, right? So it has to go to zero, maybe 300 years, 200 years, 600, whoever, doesn't matter. But they all decline. The question is, which one's declining less than the others? That's huge. That's right, Terry. 50% drop in 10 years. It's crazy. Here are currencies that I got favorite currencies. I love the Canadian dollar. I love the Canadian dollar. I love the Chinese yuan. All right. I love the Australian dollar. At times I don't, but most of the time I do. I love the currencies that are really commodity based on economies that are commodity rich, if you know what I mean. But I will never have all of my eggs in one basket. I will never have all of my wealth in one currency. I will never have all of my wealth in one country. I will never have all of my wealth in one bank. I will never have all of my wealth in one asset class. It's a basic five flag strategy to wealth. And it's what wealthy individuals and organizations have been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years. Guys, if you want to play the negativity of the US dollar, then you play UDN. Pull up a chart of that. Uncle David Nancy. It's the inverse of the US dollar, which means that when you buy UDN, you are shorting the US dollar. But you're shorting it through a buy. It's the opposite. UDN is how you play. Now let's look at the daily chart, the regular daily chart, 4 months. UDN. All right. So when UDN rises, it means that the US dollar is declining, right? It's the opposite. So if you want to ever play the downward drift of the US dollar and profit from it, you buy UDN. And as the dollar declines, UDN rises. If the dollar rises, UDN declines. It's exact opposite. The Canadian dollar is CYB. CYB. Charlie Yellow Baby. No, I'm sorry. That's the Chinese. What am I talking about? FXC. Frank X-Ray Charlie. Frank X-Ray Charlie. Canadian dollar. Okay. Also, guys, yeah, guys, listen, yeah, Carmen, don't worry about the gaps. ETFs and gaps don't matter, believe it or not. All right, it's only because on the American stock exchanges, the American stock exchange closes at 4 p.m. Eastern, right? But the currency never stops trading. So wherever the currency is when the U.S. market opens, the U.S. ETF has to automatically adjust to wherever the currency is. The currency never stops trading. The U.S. market does. So the gaps don't mean anything other than just, okay, this is where the currency is right now, this moment. We couldn't adjust it at 12 midnight, and we're adjusting it at 9:30 Eastern. That makes sense? Yeah, it has to catch up. Absolutely. Okay. Guys, one other thing I need to talk to you about. Countries. Guys, listen. One of the biggest wealth opportunities in the future, in my opinion, is the Latin American region of the world. Or yeah, we've got China. Let's take a look at China, by the way. Want to take a look at China? Let's take a look at China. FXI. That's it. I had like a senior moment there. FXI. Yeah, we've got China. Look at China. Listen, everybody's talking about how, oh, China's slowing down and your economy's slowing down. And it's probably true. Listen, when I was in Shanghai, man, I saw more cranes than I ever have in my entire life in a four block range. It was incredible to me. Right? But what was weird to me was that everything seemed empty. I don't know. It just seemed very bubble-ish to me. You know, I've been in the markets for almost 25 years now. I can almost smell a bubble from miles away. It just smelled very bubble-ish to me. There's cranes all over the place, a lot of buildings. I didn't see enough activity to support that. But anyway, that's another topic. But we can talk all this negative stuff about China and it's slowing down, whatever. And look at FXI. Where's the negativity? Right? You have to own other countries. Listen, today, guys, you can buy the whole country. You can buy China. You can buy Brazil. You can buy Canada. We live in the greatest wealth-generating period in history. If you know what you're doing, you can get fabulously wealthy. It's a worldwide game now, guys. You've got to own countries like... Listen, I own Hong Kong. Let's look at Hong Kong. And my traders, many of my traders own Hong Kong too. EWH. All right, we've owned Hong Kong for quite a while, actually. I love Hong Kong, by the way. I love it. I'm from New York. New York's a 24-hour city. New York's not really a 24-hour city. In some respects, a little bit, though. No, Hong Kong's a 24-hour city. There are restaurants that open at like 1 a.m. in the morning. They're not even open during the regular night hours. They open at 1 a.m. That's a 24-hour city. Oh, you show up at 12 midnight? No, no, sorry, you're too early. I love Hong Kong. Okay. Gotta own other countries. You have to have one or two other countries in your wealth portfolio. You just have to. Your own country is not the end all. It can never be in today's world. The world is flat now, not round. When it was round, you had countries at the top of the globe and countries at the bottom of the globe. Now it's flat. Almost every country is even. You follow what I'm saying? Like, guys, look, take a look at Israel. Like, Israel, EIS. You can own Israel. Why not? Why not own Israel? It's the globe is for wealth. The entire globe. EWW. Now, I'm going to talk to you about this. It's going to be real interesting here. I think Demetrius, the person who said that about his IRA, is here. Andrea is saying, Oliver, what do you mean by own it? Be more specific. Like, you can buy Israel. What do you mean? Can I be more specific than that? You want to own Israel? Buy EIS. You own it. It's sort of like, I own IBM. You bought the shares of IBM. All right? Now you are plugged into the Israeli economy, the major companies that make up the vast majority of the GDP and the whole nine yards. Like, we have the ability today to be global wealth accumulators, to be multi-currency owners, to be multi-asset class, to be diversified worldwide, very much like the rich have been doing ever since the Rothschilds unified the world in their financial arrangements. All right? Commodities. Why not commodities? Why not the seasonality in lumber? All right, let's look at lumber. Listen, guys, nothing goes untouched by me. Lumber, LSF-13. I'm going to show you something here. You want something that can almost every year deliver extra wealth for you? You want something like that? Okay, here it is. Lumber. I play lumber seasonally. Almost every start of the year, lumber rockets. This one thing alone can make you fabulously wealthy. It's there for the taking. You just have to know. You just have to know. We are scouring the earth for wealth. Very little escapes us. Very little. I like to trade milk. Want to take a look at the milk? Want to take a look at milk? Yeah, I buy and sell milk. I have a friend who just bought a milk farm. I'm trying a milk farm in South America here. And it was a great investment. He's off in Europe learning the milk business now. I don't know why Europe, but he knows why. I don't know. I don't know why you learn the milk business in Europe, but we just bought a milk farm in Latin America. All right, guys, let's take a look at milk. I used to help him trade milk profitably. I guess he made so much money he decided to buy a milk farm. Take a look at milk. DLV, David Larry Victor 12. Daily chart. Why not trade milk for what? Why not? I will trade anything that moves. Do you understand? Why not? I like to trade hogs too. Milk and hogs are our favorite commodities of mine to trade. Lumber seasonality and seasonally. Hogs, HEZ12. I love trading hogs. We had a great hog play last year. Yeah, we trade hogs too. Why not? Why not? What kind of account do you need to trade these? You need a futures account to trade these. But what's cool is that there's oftentimes an ETF that will mimic this. You follow what I'm saying? Not all the time. Like, there's really no ETF to follow hogs, but you can follow similar things. But there's an ETF to follow gold and silver and platinum. I play platinum. I love platinum. PLF 13.